This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's morning show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. It's time for a Tuesday edition of AMI at the Movies. As always, we're happy to welcome in our film reviewer, Amy Amanti, with her thoughts on the new series, Nine Perfect Strangers, which you can find on Amazon Prime in Canada. And of course, if you can't get enough of Amy on this show, you can always find her podcast, Accessing Art with Amy, on all your major podcasting platforms. Hey, good morning, Amy.
Hey, good morning, Dave. I usually wish you a happy Monday, but I guess I got to wish you a happy Tuesday.
Well, we were just talking in the first segment that we can call it Monday Junior. We can sort of steal off Corinne Van Dusen's take on this. But yeah, happy Tuesday, yes. Happy Monday, happy days, generally speaking. Hey, Amy, let's jump into this one. I know I've heard the name Nine Perfect Strangers being bantied about, but I know nothing about it. So what's it all about?
Okay, Nine Perfect Strangers. Gee, I wonder, are there nine perfect strangers in this particular series? Maybe there are, or maybe there's more. I don't know. So we have an essential nine strangers here that are gathered. They're all coming together for a 10-day retreat at a place called Tranquillum House. And this is a health and wellness center. It's a resort, and it's based in a fictional town that they're calling Cabriello, California. So it sounds rather like sunny and exotic. Like, yeah. Perfect place for wellness, right? Mm-hmm. I know. This is as Nazreen tells us that it's going to rain in Vancouver, this is where I want to be. So Tranquillum promises this transformation of healing to all the guests that stay there. So you can imagine that each of these guests, as we uncover through the series, have some serious baggage that they need to sort of resolve. So they're all gathered at this resort together, but is the resort actually what it seems to be? And do maybe the guests discover some secrets that, I don't know, maybe they want to know, maybe they don't want to know. And I guess ... Dave, I don't want to spoil anything for folks.
Yep. So you're saying there's more than meets the eye with this
maybe.
One. Who is the creative team behind the series?
So the creative team, and I was actually really excited about this creative team. So David E. Kelly, and if folks aren't familiar with David E. Kelly, I mean, he has probably been behind every major, highly acclaimed TV series that has ever existed, if I have to be honest. He was formerly a lawyer, which I didn't realize that. But so here's just a few credits for David E. Kelly. Does anybody remember Doogie Howser, MD? Oh my gosh, like big from my teenage years. Picket Fences, Chicago Hope was one of my favorites. The Practice, Ally McBeal, Boston Legal, like the credits go on and on and on. He also was involved in Big Little Lies, which if anybody saw Big Little Lies, also starred Nicole Kidman, who we'll talk about in a moment. So there's some overlap in this creative team. And then we've got this very well-known director, Jonathan Levine, who is directing behind the cameras. And Nicole Kidman also is an executive producer on this particular piece. So it's got a really strong creative team.
Yeah, definitely some big names behind that one. And on the flip side, or with some continuity there, the book is based on a novel. Has the author had any of their other books turned into series or movies?
Yeah, so this particular author of this Nine Perfect Strangers is Lane Moriarty, who also wrote Big Little Lies. So you can see how these creative teams are like, we've done this before. We know each other. And Lane sort of had this, she saw what was done with Big Little Lies, what David E. Kelly did with that. And that show was really, really well received. And so she really sort of sat back and let him do his thing, which oftentimes doesn't necessarily happen. I guess it all depends on how the contracts are worked out. But what David E. Kelly had said was that Lane was invited to, you know, make comments and participate. And Lane was like, yeah, you know what? You got this. So I'm going to just let you do your thing. So it sounded, I mean, that's like a perfect partnership almost when you think about it, where nobody sort of steps up and sort of puts their ego on the plate. They just sort of exist to make the work the best it can be, which I think is fantastic.
Writers let directors direct and directors let writers write. And that can typically be a much better, much more fluid relationship. Okay. Sure. So you mentioned one big name sort of behind the camera, Nicole Kidman. Who's in the cast?
So, of course, Nicole Kidman is also in the cast. She plays Masha. And Masha is, she's the founder of this wellness center, Tranquillum. And so she is very prominent in this particular piece. We also have Melissa McCarthy, which is, I mean, I love Melissa McCarthy. I originally got to know her through TV as a comedic player, but she has been very strong in some of her dramatic roles as well. And so this one is no different for me. Like, she's really, really very strong in this. And she is she's a writer, right? And writers come with baggage. So she's got a lot of baggage that she has to work through, and her character is really well developed. And then Bobby Cannavale, and he was one of my favorite actors from Third Watch back in the day. Oh man, did I love that show. But he plays a character called Tony Hogburn, who's a former football player, and maybe there's a little bit of love between him and our writer, but maybe there isn't. I don't know. I don't want to spoil too much.
No, I understand. When we're talking about a drama series or a series like this where there's supposed to be more than meets the eye, when we're doing one of these reviews, we don't want to sort of give away the good stuff.
There's because that's a lot of dot, dot, dot.
Like, that's what's going to keep you compelled and keep you going into the series. Amy, leaving politics aside, oftentimes horrendous politics, this story is based in South Carolina, one of my favorite states. Was it actually filmed there?
Yeah, so this is the beauty of TV and filmmaking, right? So, yes, Tranquillum House is supposed to be in South Carolina. The show was not filmed in South Carolina. And, of course, this happened to be because of COVID. And at the time this was filmed, Australia was, like, COVID-free and clear because it had gone into lockdown early and hadn't allowed people to come in and, you know, all of those things that an island does to protect itself. So they went to a place called Byron Bay in Australia and filmed actually at a retreat there. So the whole thing is filmed at a retreat site, which actually made you feel more like you were sort of living in this piece, as opposed to if it had been filmed in Los Angeles, like originally planned, actually. It would have been a lot of like studios and sets and that kind of thing, which I think, you know, they made a good choice in going to Australia. And certainly that's the home of Nicole Kidman. So, you know,
Did I misspeak? Was it based in Southern California, not South Carolina?
Carolina. Carolina is where the
It was never gonna be filmed in South Carolina. It was gonna be Los Angeles or Australia. Right. Okay, good enough. Amy, I'm telling you, South Carolina, especially Myrtle Beach, it's cheap. Oh my gosh, is it cheap?
God,
and is it ever beautiful? Oh my goodness. Oh my, and there's alligators everywhere, which is awesome.
It's on my bucket list.
Well, there you go. Put it on the bucket list. Okay, let's keep moving along here. Not Dave Brown's personal vacation plans. Are there any behind the scene nuggets that you want to offer to us about the series?
I always love little behind the scene nuggets. Oftentimes people think that when a series is filmed, that it's filmed in chronological order. And that's never how it happens. And when I started in the film industry years ago, it was one of the like moments where my balloon burst. I was like, what? They don't start from the first scene and film it all the way through? How does that, like, my linear brain could not understand that. But no, they cut and move things around and whatever. So, you know, in episode one, and again, I'm not spoiling anything here, but there's a moment, of course, where all the characters meet. You know, as a prime example of this, Nicole Kidman showed up on set on her first day to film the last scene of the first episode. And it was the first time the entire cast met. So there was no meet and greet. There was none of this. It just that everybody showed up to film the last scene of the first episode. That was their first day on set. So it's really interesting to me because in terms of being an actor, your character progression, sometimes it's really hard to wrap your brain around where a character is in that moment, as opposed to where they were, you know, an hour at the beginning of the series, right? Like, you have to be able to switch back and forth between where your character is at any given time, especially when you're filming things out of sequence, which can be kind of difficult.
We know when there's a story that has to do with a mystery and it's more dramatic, sometimes there are little clues sprinkled out throughout the series that are meant for sort of a keen eye or a keen listener. But sometimes that can get a bit muddled with audio description. So how was the audio description in the story?
The audio description is super helpful because you are right, Mr. Brown, as always. There are
maybe not always.
I don't know. You're pretty on the pulse with this stuff. But, so for example, there are some flashback scenes in this particular series, and they're puzzle pieces that us as the audience kind of have to go, ooh, how does that fit in with the whole scheme of things, right? And so the audio description becomes really important because they tell you that you're in a flashback sequence. Whereas if I didn't know that, that would be really hard for me to try and fit all of those pieces in together. So the audio description in this piece becomes really, really important. And I think was really, really well done. Again, you know, there are always hit and miss things for me in audio description, but generally speaking, I found that I wasn't pulled out of the story, that I was engaged in the story more because of the description.
So overall, what did you think of the series?
I'm giving the series an 8.5. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. What I thought was really interesting, though, was the relationships between these characters. There's some really nice growth. There's some really interesting plot lines here that kind of make you go, huh? And I think for those reasons, it kept me along, although I'm not sure that I'm satisfied with the outcome, to be honest with you.
Okay, fair enough. Amy, thank you for waking up early for us today. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.